Cadence and Epilogue, Final Statement, Description of Studies, Part 2, written by Z. Charnel in 1986. I'll read starting at the beginning of number 4 again. Number 4. Two correlations are accepted. That there is a correlation between the acquisition of language skills and being left-handed or right-handed. That there is a correlation between recovering language skills and being less than 8 years old, because of the further correlation between the acquisition of language skills and the lateralization of the brain to a different degree or a different way in exclusively right-handed persons. Number 5. The acquisition of language skills entails a transition from indicator language, where similarities and differences are a principal means of establishing correlations between the indicator and that which is indicated, to acceptance of signifier language, where arbitrarily assigned sounds or marks are used to either signify or symbolize, point to, or stand for rule-determined taxonomic structures. In the early 50s, Mortimer Mishkin and Donal Forgies reported that normal right-handed subjects were better at identifying English words briefly presented to the right of the visual fixation than they were at identifying words flashed to the left visual field. Subjects able to read Yiddish were tested similarly with Yiddish words and found to favor the left visual field. Number 7. Mishkin and Forgies concluded that because Yiddish is read from right to left and English from left to right, the neuronal organization favored the opposite hemisphere in each case. Other findings extend and elaborate these correlations of Mishkin and Forgies. Dependent upon handedness, different brain development strategies follow the acquisition of language skills. In the largest number of people, exclusively right-handed people, the consequences of acquiring language skills are greatest. Hemispheric specialization or lateralization is most pronounced in male, exclusively right-handed persons. The effects upon the anatomy of the brain, the corresponding physiology, and the correlated faculties of mind are most pronounced in this particular group. Male, exclusively right-handed persons dominate the direction and content of Western society. The acquisition of language skills correlates with the development of political, logical, grammatical, syntactical, rule-making, and rule-keeping modes of thinking. That thinking yields defining of self, self-referencing, and what is defined as consciousness. Doesn't it follow that we would have an alternative to consciousness or self-referencing if we didn't have the bicameral mind broken down but preserved? If we were to preserve the functions of the right hemisphere in both hemispheres, we would have an alternative to consciousness. If the breakdown of the bicameral mind is the origin of consciousness, doesn't it follow that we don't have analytical, logical, serial or linear thinking if we preserve the bicameral mind? Is this so in any way? Do we find another kind of mind with diminished or no consciousness in the dyslexic or those who preserve or restore bicamerality? Heading: Formal Logical Reasoning, Innate or Cultural. Morton Hunt, in The Universe Within, raises the question whether the ability to do formal logical reasoning is innate or is culturally acquired. One research method was to seek out a culture where Aristotelian syllogisms have never been heard. Hunt describes the findings of psychologist Sylvia Schreiber with an illiterate Capel farmer in a tiny Liberian village. Schreiber says, all Capel men are rice farmers. Mr. Smith is not a rice farmer. Is he a Capel man? Capel farmer responds, I don't know the man. I have not laid eyes on the man himself. Schreiber says, just think about the statement. The Capel farmer insists, if I know him in person, I can answer that question. But since I do not know him in person, I cannot answer that question. The author's comment after this dialogue is, the Capel farmer does not use categories in such knowing. Schreiber goes on, try and answer from your Capel sense. The Capel farmer says, if you know a person, if a question comes up about him, you are able to answer. But if you do not know the person, if a question comes up about him, it's hard for you to answer it. Schreiber's conclusion is that formal, logical thought is not a natural or inevitable outcome of human mental development, but it is a cultural artifact acquired along with literacy. Heading, the logical and other than logical functions of language. The mind, accessed in hypnosis, has another proximity to linguistic language. The mind, accessed in hypnosis, regards similarities and differences as totally significant. Rhyme, alliteration, homophones, tonally marked sounds embedded in logical language, etc. These word similarities are the kinds of relationships of language followed by the mind accessed in hypnosis. This is not the conscious, analytical, logical, grammatical, and syntactical mind. This is the subconscious mind. This is the remembering mind. This is the part of the mind which controls the involuntary functions of the body. This part of the mind doesn't hear or heed the words no, not, none, etc. These negatives have logical functions. For example, when we say that this part of the mind doesn't heed the no's, it thinks we mean the nose, at which point it may discontinue the function of smelling. The nose, N-O apostrophe S, become a nose. Alternatively, the word nose, K-N-O-W-S, may become segregated from the logical functions of a sentence and may become a tonally marked word which refers to nose, N-O-S-E. This part of the mind hears the narrative image, heeding every similarity in what is called a tonally literal way. In a totally literal way, this part of the mind hears voice tone meaning, heeds facial expressions and gestures. This part of the mind maintains a separate communication path, a different language. This subconscious mind is affected by music, rhythm, images, motions, textures, aromas. It is pointed out, even claimed, that some senses respond to the possibility of arbitrarily assigned meanings, and some senses do not. You can assign a sound, or a sound sequence, which generally follows the rules of linguistic language in logical function. In other words, let prite, P-R-I-T-E, mean the way the strands or fibers or pile of carpet incline. The prite of a carpet is the pattern of inclination of its strands, fibers, or pile. We may successfully use this same word in a logical, arbitrarily assigned way. We may use it to denote or point to whatever we choose. However, the other part of the mind, with its rules of language, based upon similarity showing correlation, will detect the sound right, R-I-T-E, and will associate it according to its rules of meaningful similarities and differences. Please proceed to part 3.